Thank you. Thank you. Okay. First few questions. How many of you represent top management, upper management? Few. Okay. Interesting. Second question, how many of you have heard about systems condition as a term before? Okay, few. Okay, this should be interesting. So today I'm going to talk about systems conditions in the context of software development. What they are, why they exist. We'll talk about some common examples and how to change system conditions. So let's start with few definitions. So what is a system? In this context, we define system as a collection of parts that interact and influence each other. So we don't now talk about IT systems. And often systems has various inputs which go through certain processes and follow certain principles to produce certain outputs and which together try to accomplish the overall purpose of the system. And with this definition, we can think about that organization is one example of human-centered systems. So we have different demands coming from our customers or market as a inputs, and we do something for the demand or against the demand, and then we want to create some delivery or results as an outside from a system. So, what are system conditions then? I define a system condition as a direct or indirect result or results of the design and management of work. So, and why we should be interested in system conditions? Why we should care about these things at all? Because in my experience, they really are something that affect the capability of a system. To make things a little bit more concrete, this is a cartoon that I want to show you. So the person on the left side says, do you think it's possible to implement this requirement soon? And the other person says, well, it's not easy, but everything is possible. And the first person or other person says, great. And then the persons think about, you have no idea about our business. And the second person says, you have no idea about IT. And the caption text states that it's really, really important that business and IT talk together. So, have you had any similar experience during your career? This is really a system condition because the separation of business and IT or R&D. There are some indirect consequences of this design or system condition, design and management of work. In IT work, estimates are used because of this quite often because business wants to have predictability and the IT or R&D want to give some estimates. Or there can be even commitment games in certain organizations because of this system condition. And there are a few others. On the next slide, there are many, many system conditions, and I'm quite sure that you recognize many of these. Let's take a few examples. Let's take team building, whether team is co-located or distributed teams, team tooling and technology, existing source code and technical depth, office locations, structure or business domains or units, processes. These are really everything are the result of design and management of work. And my observation over the years is that the system conditions very likely affect on the capability of the operational delivery. And they affect even agile teams. Even agile teams are kind of in control of their own destiny. But agile teams are part of the, of an organizational system and influenced by the system conditions surrounding. And especially in large organization, the system conditions have really, really big impact on the capability of the system. Some people say that it's over 90% in certain contexts. And that's because just the design and management of work. Usually conventional management concentrates on the people. They want people to do things more efficiently, work over hours and so on, but they don't necessarily understand what's the role of the organization itself. So, why do they exist then? Well, I think it's really simple because they exist in some people honestly think they are desirable properties of a system. And otherwise they would not exist, right? So we can think about an organization as a system in the following manner. I will use the one-card model for check approach here. So in this approach, we study how a system responds against demand. The demand can be market demand or customer demand or even internal demand. Then we understand why we want to understand why it responds that way. Do we do things in the right way, or do we do right things at all? Then we want to identify the thinking that caused this. That is the thinking behind the design and management of work. And in this context, I want to emphasize the design part. So we can change the labeling a little bit and go backwards. So management thinking affect design and then further the capability of an organization. And this is really important. Management thinking defines design of a system, an organization. All the things that you saw before, these are all the designs and the results of the design and management work. And the design further affect on capability. So why such a system conditions exist that have potentially negative impact on the system's capability? Well, it's easy. There is an easy answer for this, because of lack of knowledge. But the reality, why this happens, there is no easy answer for this. This is a famous quote by W. Edward Deming, who was the man behind the Second World War in Japan, who really boosted the Japan's economy and is one of the greatest management thinkers perhaps all the time. And his quote says that the lack of knowledge, that's the problem. And I think, well, this cartoon may be a little bit humoristic, but I think there's a truth inside, because in the boardroom, a lady says, we don't know why revenue is falling, and the people on the front line says, we don't know why you didn't get your goods on time, or we don't know why the website isn't working. So, if the people who manage software development work don't necessarily have the knowledge about the nature of work, how do they know what is good, bad, or even relevant for the people who does the work? Or are these people able to design the system conditions in that way that people can do their job as well as possible? Because the problem here, even nowadays, is that the knowledge work is managed quite often as manual work. And the nature of software development and knowledge work in general is really different from manual work. Well, in this context, I define software development as an iterative context-specific information discovery and validation work. So again, to make things a little bit more concrete, let's look at this following table. On the left side, there is things that Frederick Taylor has said on manual work. And Frederick Taylor was the person, one of the key persons behind the Industrial Revolution during the 100 years ago, during the Industrial Revolution. And on the right side, Peter Drucker has said on knowledge work things, and Peter Drucker was one of the first persons who studied the nature of knowledge work. So the things on the left states define the task, command and control, strict standards, focus on quantity, measure performance to strict standard, minimize cost of workers for a task. And the things on the right side are understand the task, give autonomy, continuous innovation, focus on quality, continuous learn and teach, treat workers as an asset, not a cost. And the things that Peter Drucker has said, or these things have been available for decades, so these are not really new things. And the problem here is that I would state, at least in my experience, most software companies are designed based on the things on the left side. And I think, well, this is kind of a rhetoric question, that surely the more appropriate approach for the design and management work is used in most software companies. I doubt. And we shouldn't underestimate the power of system conditions because a bad system will beat or defeat a good person every time. Another famous quote by W. Edwards Deming. And this is really true. Let's consider a motivated person in a bad system or a motivated team in a bad system. They are not really able to change all system conditions. Some things they can change or a person can change, but not all. System conditions are something as weather conditions. They exist, but you cannot change them. And I would say that a bad system will likely to defeat a robust delivery approach also. No matter how robust in-house product development, if there is a bad system surrounding it, it will be. Here is an example. Again, a cartoon. A person says, the new product is selling like hotcakes. It's a shame that service is letting the site down. So, it might have been that the product development has been really robust. But the problem here is that perhaps there has been some targets in the sales department or intensives or bonuses that had led to a situation in product development that there is too much work to do and too little time for it. And because of this, there are product faults going up, and then customer service is really in trouble. So these are system conditions. Something in another part of a system may cause really, really big effect on other part of the system. And Russell L. Acuff has said, one of the most famous system thinkers of all time, that to manage a system effectively, you must focus on the interactions of the parts rather than their behavior taken separately. And maybe the sales department incentives or bonuses are the most common example of violating this principle. And related to the agile methods, it's not really always about speed either. This is a famous joke by John Seddon saying that the agile could be doing the wrong thing faster. What does it mean? Well, it's potentially the wrong thing from the customer's point of view. So if, for example, if agile methods have been used to create a new IT system or website or web service, that isn't really interesting from the customer's point of view. For example, self-service website or whatever. And it can be wrong thing from the employee's point of view because IT system rarely change the design of work towards better. And it can be wrong thing from the market's point of view. No knowledge, what is the market demand? And quite often, developed IT systems are designed to codify conventional management, command and control management, and they are really method agnostic. And the problem here is the design of system, and that's often because of management thinking. And when we think about why IT projects fail, it's not really about the delivery or execution or even contracts. John Seddon has said about that this problem is only about creating better contracts. But John Seddon has said that it could be doing the wrong thing righter. The problem is much, much deeper, and it's about management thinking. So this is also a famous quote by Peter Drucker. Efficiency is doing things right. Effectiveness is doing the right things. And usually the case is that the R&D or IT, the executors, only are able to concentrate on the efficiency side, doing things right. And consultants usually concentrate on doing the things right. But effectiveness is usually much, much important. And lean startup and customer development movements try to address this issue in our industry. And Marco will talk about this topic in more detail after me. So it's also about knowledge. And again, a quote from Peter Drucker, there is nothing so useless as doing efficiently that we shouldn't be doing at all. But we have a problem here. Because often new operational delivery approaches are attractive for the people at the top. Here is an example. Taichi Ohno said, "Don't call it anything. If you call it something, managers will expect it to come in a box." He was right. Do you know who Taichi Ohno was? He was the man behind Toyota Production System. And this, when he said, "Don't call it anything," he mean the approach what they used at Toyota Production Systems. And years later, some other people labeled their approach as lean. So on the next slide, there are a few examples of different tools or operational delivery approach over the decades. And these are not really limited to IT industry. And the problem here is not really that only in the IT industry, but I think the IT industry is kind of special one because at least that's my experience that there is no show business like IT business. There is continuous delivery of new tools or approaches coming each year or even faster. But why these new approaches are interesting for the people at the top? They might give us or them quicker delivery, lower costs, and better quality, perhaps. And of course, usually top management want to please shareholders. And this is also one of the system conditions, the shareholder structure. So, but do the operational delivery approaches or tools change system conditions? And why? This is an important question. My experience is that, and the quote that John Seddon says here, that if the thinking doesn't change, programs of change often fail. Do you have had any similar experiences? And is there a contradiction here? New tools are attractive, but thinking doesn't change. No wonder we read about why agile initiatives fail or lean initiatives fail and so on. So, this is really important quote by John Stetton. I will read it. Command and control managers like to buy change by training and projects, unaware that change really requires changing the system, the conditions, and unaware that that means first being prepared to change the way they think about the design and management of work. This is really deep. And that's usually because why change is brought in as training and projects, because they don't have knowledge. So, few words about changing thinking related to how to change system conditions. So, it's really important to be aware that the change in thinking is often a normative process. And unlearning convention is best achieved normatively by doing and getting knowledge. And rational arguments don't necessarily work very well. I communicate, you listen, I train, you exercise, I coach, you follow. There is not necessarily changing in the thinking. And think how children learn or unlearn by experiencing things themselves. For example, if a parent says, don't touch that hot candle, of course they try to experience it. And once they experience that something is hot, they change their thinking. So, in principle, the approach for changing thinking or management thinking requires a similar approach. Things have to be experienced. No rational arguments work very well. So, to change thinking, we need a different approach here, a method specifically designed for this purpose. Agile methods don't necessarily change thinking. They might change some aspects of an organization or operation delivery approach, but they don't necessarily change thinking at the top at all. And I think we should more talk about these aspects when talking about adoption new operation delivery tools or new approaches in general. And if we want to change thinking, we need a method because, well, Deming has, again, really relevant quote here. A goal without method is a nonsense. So, different method for changing thinking. So, as a summary, why system conditions are relevant for development teams? First of all, they likely affect development teams' capability and effectiveness, especially in large organizations. And it's really important, or I think it's really important to be aware of the design and management of work, especially in the design part. Because I think we should more focus on the design of work and how the work works in an organization. Because usually the management follows the design at the operational level. And once teams are aware of system conditions, they are able to change some of those in the team's context, and if necessary, they are able to escalate, hopefully, to management or the people who are able to change system conditions beyond team context. And if the design and management of work is broken, the system and its conditions, it's likely that no development or operational delivery method will fix it. Makes sense to you? And last but not least, really good quote by Peter Schultz. Changing the system will change what people do. Changing what people do will not change the system. Let's consider system conditions at home, where parents change the conditions at, for example, what meal they give to children, how late children are allowed to be awake, and what TV programs they are allowed to see. You might see an amplified behavior in change with children. And it's really, well, it's quite easy to see how when you change the conditions at home, me as a father, and the same behavioral changes affect or exist in an organization also. When the conditions change, people likely change also. Okay, thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Okay. Let's say that you have an organization where you have system conditions like harmful incentives or doing measurement by functions, function instead of flow. How would you go attack it? The real question is, can you do it organically starting from small things? Like if you're a developer, do you think it's possible to attack those system conditions, or does it necessarily require a top management intervention?
Or do you mean how to change the top management thinking that they...
No, I mean to attack those system conditions. Like if you have harmful incentives you consider harmful for the organization, do you think it's possible to attack them organically starting from like the grassroots? Or do you think it necessarily requires top management, you know, changing their thinking and changing, doing they intervening?
I think it can work that the change comes from the bottom to up, but it's usually much harder. Usually it's much easier if the change or these kind of system conditions are changed at the top. Yes.
No? Yeah. Cool. Okay. Let's say that someone would have an interest about systems thinking in general. So could you name like three books that people should read about systems thinking if they get interested about that stuff right now?
Yeah. First two Deming's books, Out of the Crisis and New Economics, and maybe John Seddon's Freedom from Command and Control. Any other questions? Okay.
Very much. my name is Ismo Harimaa. And my question is that how important do you think that the employees, the awareness of the conditions of the system?
I think it's really important because people argue over Deming's 95-5 statement, which that means that up to 95% of the capability and its variation is because of the organization itself or the system itself. But I found it's really useful to recognize the system conditions so people become more aware of how the design of work is done and how the work actually works in an organization. Because usually or conventional management thinking is that the economy is in the scale, but actually it's in the flow. For how long time a work is an organization, that's much more efficient and effective. And creating a system conditions like that the flow is steady and works very well in an organization from the demand coming outside from an organization point of view. And once it's delivered, it's really important to be aware of these things. Any other questions?
I have one.
Okay.
Does this kind of approach
does this kind of approach make any restrictions on the organization hierarchy? Does it work well in a flat organization or much higher one, deep one?
Usually systems thinking, or when we design our organization against demand, usually there is no really hierarchies. There are more like capability teams designed against demand that take the demand and deliver the demand. There are some similarities compared to Agile or Scrum, but this is really an organizational-wide approach. It's not only about execution.
Do you see any value of defining company values so that they could guide you to have a better system as a company?
Yes, if the system conditions are aligned with the values. Yeah, indeed. But if there is a contradiction, usually it's a potential source of demotivation. Okay, any other questions? There is one.
Have you ever been a part of facilitating a change in system conditions for a customer?
Yeah.
What did you do?
Perhaps I don't have any time for it, but it's really... it's related to how to change or facilitate such a conditions that people or management start to reframe their assumptions of the work that they are managing. Any other questions?
There. my approach of thinking system is that system is like, well, we. So, how, or are you in this, when you think from this point of view, are you saying that, like, we should, like, or just not, I don't buy that the changing the system will change what people do, but, well, I'm confused.
Yeah, this is the quote by Peter Schultz. It's a kind of productive way of approaching the issue or trying to address the issue. But it's really, for example, usually in an agile transformations, middle management feels, or people at the top or in the teams, people feel that middle management is an issue in some way. And the problem often here is that there are targets given to middle managers or incentives. And these are the system conditions why middle management often are kind of underway in the kind of when starting different approach for doing things. And well, it's not really only about agile, but this is just one example that when there are system conditions like bonuses or incentives or targets, it affect or has an effect on people's behavior very often.
Yeah, I have a question about how do you set the system boundaries if we consider our company, for example, as a system, but is it so that at some point you need to include also one of our customers, for example, as a part of the system as well, and thinking how does that relationship and that interaction work? So it cannot be only about our own company, right? And do you find that challenging, that if we have to do some sort of change in the management thinking, that it's not possibly enough only to change the management thinking of our own company, but we might have to change the management thinking of our customers' managers as well?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, sometimes you really have to think about the boundaries. And it might be that, well, depending how your, what's it the kind of, state of your customer relationships or what kind of contracts you have, you may have to kind of train or kind of coach the new approach and perhaps ask someone else to kind of intervene to teach your customers. But this is really a kind of a common problem here in our industry, because the buyers follow the conventional management thinking, and their suppliers follow the conventional management thinking. So it's a difficult game to win, but I believe that over the years, when people start to understand, have more knowledge about the nature of knowledge work and software development, I think our industry is is going towards better ways of doing business. Yeah.
I have one more.
Okay.
When you consider, actually just your answer, when you're doing this for the customer, what's a good approach for helping the customer doing this? There are lots of players involved. The bigger the organization, the more the players. How do you all gather them up and communicate this change for the customer?
You mean that once you are already...
How do you approach the problem? You see the customer and the organization has its problem. How do you start solving them?
Start small, engage the relevant people at the top and people at the front line, and start doing things. And the Vanguard method uses an approach called check, plan, do, which is an iterative approach for change, and it's dialect of Deming's PDCA approach. But start small and then learn, try, change if necessary, and so on. Yeah.
Yeah, this is maybe a bit more of a rhetorical question, but if the problem is lack of knowledge, or maybe in some respects even wrong knowledge, if the thinking is wrong, shouldn't the change start in university? What does it help if we change a company now and the new generation of management starts with the same principles?
And the problem here is also that how the business schools nowadays work. There are MBA schools that kind of embrace the conventional management thinking and kind of concentrate managing the manual work. And so, it's really kind of more bigger issue here to understand the nature of work that you are trying to manage. There is one.
The management understands the costs of the change, but not necessarily the value. Which has been the approaches that you have been, or you have tackled this situation? So, how have you sold the change to the management?
That they understand the value of.
With the value of, and so kind of, what new does it bring? Why should they start thinking about changing their behavior, their management way of managing people, things, the system. So kind of how have you sold this to the kind of your customers' management?
Well, it's a tough question. Well, and maybe there are not a single answer for it, but it's really about understanding. And, well, in the previous talks, the question usually is why. Why you are doing this? And, of course, you want to understand kind of the past, the current state, and the future, and where do you want to go. But there is no single answer for how to kind of sell the value, because... Of course, there are some reasons why an organization want to adopt new tools. But currently, my approach is that I use, for example, Kanban as a part of this approach that the Kanban is a good tool for showing how the work works in an organization. Is there a flow, steady flow of work, or are there any blockers in a way? And the Kanban can be used in a team context, or it can be Kanban system can be designed from the demand to the delivery, and it can be modeled as a whole capability flow across the system or organization.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Good questions.